Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back for hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Joe Galina, along with George Kurtz, Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel. Big weekend for waiver wire ads, waiver wire activity in fantasy baseball. Also, a lot of you, including myself and George and the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel, will be watching closely the series finale of Game of Thrones. And hey, Sean, if you're there, you didn't chime in when we were talking a little Game of Thrones. Any predictions as to who ends up on the throne at series end on your part?
Overall, I do think as far as who's going to end up on the Iron Throne, it's really going to be a toss-up of whether Jon really wants the throne or not, because that is going to be the big question.
But you said he doesn't, yeah.
Overall, I do think that Daenerys, the whole episode, it's going to be based on the aftermath of last episode, in which there's probably going to be a decision that Jon is going to have to come to terms with, and probably Tyrion's going to talk about this with him in the episode about, you know, just killing Daenerys off because she's now the Mad Queen for the sake of the Seven Kingdoms. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, maybe she's not exactly the safest ruler nowadays, and she's clearly shown based on the carnage from the last episode. So it's going to be a whole morality choice, and if Jon is going to be the one to do the deed. But let's not forget, though, they, as mentioned earlier, listening back through the old audio of you guys last hour, that you talked about Jamie still being alive. I do think that there's a chance that if he is still alive, that he is probably going to make an attempt at Daenerys' life. I really do think that.
Wow. So what do you think? Like, maybe there could be like a beam that just like falls in a certain place and him and maybe Cersei or survive the collapse of, the building on top of them? That would be wild.
I don't think it would be.
So right now.
Per se, Joe, I do think it would be that Cersei would be dead, but Jaime has a chance of living.
Right, right. And he'd want revenge for Daenerys causing the death of Cersei. Interesting. Okay. So, yeah, so we were talking like betting odds there, Fantasy Prince, Sean. So Bran, Sansa, Jon Snow, Tyrion Lannister, and Samwell Tarly are top five in terms of betting odds to sit on that throne at the end of the series. Who do you think, of those five, who do you think has the best chance of ending up queen or king?
Name the five again.
Bran Stark, Sansa Stark, Jon Snow, Tyrion Lannister, or Samwell Tarly?
Here's what I think. What I think is if Jon doesn't decide to take the throne just for the sake of keeping everybody he knows and loves safe, then I really think it's going to be nobody that's going to end up taking the Iron Throne, and everybody's just going to fend for themselves at this point.
Wow. Okay. There you go. All right. So we'll see what happens tonight. Looking forward to watching the series finale. Good input from the Fantasy Prince, Sean Engel. And as we were coming back from commercial, George, you and Mike yesterday were talking about, you know, the Jets and the Giants, and we spoke about the interview you did with Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, which could be listened to on demand. And then just a quick thing before we go back to baseball, and then we'll do a little football later. Maybe we'll take a look at more of the AFC. We look at the AFC South this week. We had looked at the AFC East and North the previous kind of weeks. But you know, it seems like with the Jets, I mean, the Giants, the New York Giants, had kind of gift-wrapped the New York football scene to them. You know, it just looked like the Jets were the New York football franchise that was moving in the right direction. They got the nice quarterback who's developing. You know, say what you will about Lev Bell, whether you believe that the year off is going to help or hurt him. You know, he got, you know, one of the major free agent signings, you know, in the off season, had a nice draft, but it seems like they just find a way to turn themselves into, you know, the laughing stock of New York football again.
Yeah, they did. And if you know, if you read Manish's article in Daily News about what happened there, I mean, it's like, oh my God, it's a cluster. I mean, it's really a cluster. How you know, how Gase keeps failing up is beyond me. You know, he's never done anything that would say he deserves any of this. Also, to be made, you know, GM, coach, and all this other crap. He's never done anything. Why are they handing this to him? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think it makes sense to most people. But it is what it is. He did a power play there, and it's worked out. And you think about it, you know, I think the thing that stands out to everybody is in the draft. At the draft where he moved his chair where he was out of the picture. So that when ESPN was just showing you, the NFL Network was showing you, he was in there.
Yeah, that was a shocker. And a great depiction by Manish in his article. It's almost like, you know, he just said, hey, okay, look, you know, take me out of the picture. You know, you make the picks, and look, you know, if it fails, it's on you. It's almost like it was just a very odd scenario.
Well, that's exactly what he's saying. And there's been even reports that even during the trip, during the process, when he was asked his opinion, he wouldn't give it. Well, he gave very ho-hum, you know, he didn't want to be involved. That's what he's trying to do. If it doesn't work out, not
don't
my
blame
fault.
Me.
If it does work out, does work out, well, it's because I coached him.
Yes.
He's trying to play it to the no-lose situation here. You know, that's exactly what he's doing here. It's bull. You know, but it is what it is at this point. Jets made their bed with this guy. All right, Chris Johnson's pretty much gave him the keys to the kingdom. For good or bad, maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. You know, it's surprising. I think that is the word I would put there. Surprising, where you would give Gase all this power. This is not Bill Belichick. This is not a Bill Parcells type of guy here. Where you had to do this. You know, where now he's got complete power. Now I imagine he's gonna be in on the GM search. It'll be his guy. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy that he wants there that'll he can control. I mean, good luck. Good luck.
All right, so we'll see how that plays out. Always an interesting time following the New York Jets, and I feel bad for Jet fans. But, hey, you know, I got my own problems as a Giants fan, so we'll see what happens. It'll be an interesting football season. Yeah, I do, yeah. So let's get back to baseball. Phillies beat the Rockies 2-1. And Aaron Nola, who had been having his issues, finally had a good performance out of him. 6 innings pitched, 12 Ks, 1 run given up, 1 a walk. And, you know, I was starting to – I own him on a team, and I was basically, you know, up until, you know, last night, I was wondering what the heck is up with this guy. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't give up on him. If you've drafted him, you drafted him high. But before last night's start, walk rate was up by more than 1 walk per 9. Previous season had been 2.46. Before yesterday started, it was 3.88. His hard hit contact against was up by more than 8%. Ground ball rate was down by about 5%. The line drive rate against him was up by about 5%. His velocity has been on target. But what was your thought? I mean, it's one start, but hopefully one of many that could bring him back to, you know, one of the top pitchers in the NL.
Well, fantasy owners were hoping so, right? I mean, it's been a weird year. Your top three fantasy pitchers in, I don't know, four, you want to throw Sale in here too. Think about it. Scherzer, DeGrom, Nola, Kluber, sale have all been huge disappointments. I mean, huge disappointments so far this season. It's been it's like, are you kidding me? Can I get a win? Can I get anything out of these guys? I mean, it's been strange. Out of your top pitchers, really been Verlander's obviously pitched well. Garrett Cole's pitched a bit solid. Even his ratios are a little higher than you'd like. Snell got hurt. It's been a wild season as far as starting pitchers. If you draft the starting pitchers early, you're probably screwed.
Yeah.
Because
these
guys are not paying off right now. They're just not doing it. It's not to say they won't, but they're not paying off right now. Now, Nola, I didn't draft Nola anyway because I wasn't drafting somebody who's pitching in somebody in the second round who's pitching in that ballpark. I just wasn't going to do it. You know, I couldn't bring myself to do that. I don't like drafting Philadelphia pitchers, period, or Colorado pitchers or Texas pitchers. You know, the guys that pitch in ballparks that are such heavy hitters ballparks, because you just know there are going to be days where it just doesn't work out for me. Now, that being said, you know, I watched that Nola start yesterday. Looked good. Ball was moving, a lot of curve. Gave up a bunch of hits. It wasn't like he was fantastic. They just couldn't get the runs across here. But his ball was moving again. You know, the curve ball was working. So you hope it's a sign of things to come. Once again, I say this all the time. May 19th, the weather is just now starting to warm up. You know, maybe now that the weather's a little warm, he's able to grip the ball better, get a better movement on his pitches, better curveball, better off-speed stuff. So I'm certainly being patient here. Now, you know, where I made the analogy before, where if you know Joe Galina has Max Scherzer, you want to sell him to me 80 cents on a dollar, I'm all in. No, I'm not as all in, but once again, that goes back to my original, you know, worries about him pitching in Philadelphia. I think he's going to figure it out now. I doubt he's going to be the pitcher he was last year, where he was, you know, all world and how well he pitched, but I'm confident that he gets back to being, you know, from this point forward, much closer to the value you paid for at draft time.
Right. Hey, I know you're not into, you know, based on what you just said, you're a little wary when it comes to drafting or adding Phillies pitchers, but Cole Irvin, you know, when you look at him, 2.78 ERA, career minor league average, seven strikeouts per nine, two walks per nine, has had two starts so far in the majors, one against the Royals, which he pitched seven innings, gave up a run. The other night against Colorado, six innings, three earned runs. What are your first impressions of Cole Irvin, and what's your advice to anyone who might be thinking about maybe putting in a bid for him this weekend?
Yeah, Philadelphia has been a little bit of a, I mean, you know, they've taken Velasquez out. He's hurt. Pivetta was removed from the rotation. Irvin's 25 years old, not truly a prospect, if that's what you're looking for. But he's not one of the, you know, oh my God, he's a can't-miss prospect. No, he's not that, but he's pitched well in the minor leagues. I mean, last year, 2.57, 1.06 whip. This year, numbers were similar, 2.25, 1.22. So he looks like he has something, right? That maybe he has something. Sometimes we see pitchers who pitch better in major leagues than they ever do in the minors anyway. They're pitchers, and they know how to pitch, but they're not sexy because he doesn't throw hard.
Right.
His fastball velocity, it's unusual. He's not throwing the ball 95. He's throwing the ball high 80s, 90. So he needs to be perfect. That's going to scare the life out of me in that ballpark.
Because
there are going to be days where he's not perfect. You know, generally with these guys, there's no chance in a head-to-head league I'd go for him, because I'm going to be worried about him blowing up my ratio that week, my ratios that week. You know, one bad start and I'm toast. And I've lost two categories. Year-long leagues, you know, rotisserie leagues, that's a little different. I can more afford, I don't want a bad outing, of course, but I can afford it. He's not going to crush me.
Right.
But even then, I mean, he's talking about tonight in Fab, a couple of dollars. Nothing big. Nothing big at all. I know you brought it up earlier in the show, and you're right. Everybody that's being called up are all the hitters, not
positional.
Really much the pitching department, right? So you're not getting much there. There's not a lot on the waiver wire, especially if you didn't get Corbin, who the Astros called, Corbin Martin. I get that. You know, but I'm not nowhere near close banking on this guy, that he's going to be that guy. I don't think so. And I think it's just a matter of time. What happens when Velasquez comes back? If Pivetta figures it out, he's the first one gone.
Right. I agree with you there. So on the Rocky side of this equation, we already spoke about Brendan Rodgers. You know, question whether or not he was going to get enough at-bats. 1-for-8, batting 125 on the season. But it's odd to see Daniel Murphy slumping so badly. Not used to seeing him with a batting average under 200, George. He's batting 182 with a 257 OBP and a 348 slugging. And at the same time, Ian Desmond, since April 28th, he seems to be coming on a little bit. You know, 289 batting average, 4 home runs. The thing is with Desmond, and he's been so streaky too, we've spoken about him on this show, but no stolen bases at all. And that's one of the things that you want Desmond for is, you know, the potential of maybe a 2020 year, you know, 20 homers, 20 stolen bases. But Daniel Murphy slumping, Ian Desmond kind of, you know, coming out of it. But your thoughts on them?
I mean, with Murphy, it really is a small sample size because he was hurt. And maybe he's not fully healthy. You know, right. That's still affecting him. You can't grip the bat the way you want to grip it. It might take some time here. But it's a it's a smaller sample size than everybody else because he missed so much time. For him, this is really still probably, what, April? So it may take him some time to figure it out. Listen, it was a bad signing by Colorado. I don't know anybody who heralded that, so loved that sign. It was really dumb. It's really what it was. I don't know what the Rockies were thinking. Truly don't. Yeah, but it is what it is. They have to live with it. Fantasy owners, you have to live with it. What are you going to do? I'm probably benching him now. I haven't checked out Colorado's schedule next week. Are they playing all home games? Well, then I reverse this, and I'm playing them. Yeah, but other than that, you know, I don't know what you're going to do with them. You're probably playing him at second base, not first base for your fantasy team. You know, so that helps you out a little bit, but he's not doing anything. He's not hitting for power, not hitting for average. You know, he's not going to run. How's he helping your team right now? If he was a normal player, Joe, in a normal stadium, he'd be a guy for me that has to sit until he proves me he's, you know, he's done something, and then I'll plug him in. You know, I'm not afraid to sit players. I'm not, you know, because I want them to stop hurting me. Once they show they can hit, you know, even in weekly leagues, it sucks if they start hitting on a Monday and you eat it that week. Yeah, you know, I have Guerrero in a league, and I benched him this week, and I lost the three home runs he hit. I have nothing I can do. But I was getting tired of him killing me. So he had to sit. The same thing with Murphy here. If assuming I have another second baseman on my roster or a middle infielder, whatever it might be, DH, he sits until he hits. The only way that changes, as I said, if they are playing at home all week, all right, then he gets another week. I'm not going to set him while he's playing 6-7 games in Colorado.
Right. Agreed. Desmond with no stolen bases. I mean, like I said, that's one of the biggest things that you take a chance on because you're taking a chance on him. You know, middle rounds, but, you know, and you make the pick, at least I do, and I hold my nose.
Well, with Desmond, it's a little different because he's an outfielder. We start 5, that's so many out there. So he gets a little bit more wiggle room because you probably don't have great depth to be able to bench him. But the problem is, the good news is, you said, he's coming out of it a little bit, hitting a little bit better. The bad news is he's not playing every day either. And they, once again, a lot of cooks in the kitchen there, they can rest him a game or two a week, and that can be frustrating as well.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little Marlins-Mets. Mets could be making a managerial change within the next week or so. We'll see. We'll be right back with more on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to our house. A little madness going on. Madness, the 80s pop group that recorded Our House. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
On our street.
There you go.
Where else would your house be, by the way? Today.
Some people have a house on the water. I guess a boathouse, right?
I don't know. ruin it for me. Fine. I never had a treehouse.
Me neither. No, I always wanted one. But
yeah, never had a treehouse.
Yeah, my father never built me a treehouse.
I don't think I had trees in my when I grew up. I got a pine. We can't build it in a pine tree. That's not
good. No, I don't think so. No, it'd have to be something more sturdy.
Nice oak, right? A nice oak tree. Right. It's really what you need. And I didn't have that on the property. I had some other kind of weird tree that I don't even know what the hell it was. But it certainly wasn't stable enough for a treehouse. So, yes, I didn't have a treehouse growing up, and I feel bad about it.
Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. I feel bad.
Yeah, boo-hoo.
You hear about this crazy story with A-Rod's lawyers suing this photographer who took a picture of him while he was taking care of business in the bathroom? I think from like a building across the way. Did you hear about that?
You know what? The photographer should be sued. I mean, really, I'm not an A-Rod guy. I think A-Rod's an ass.
But still.
Complete ass.
Yeah.
But that's ridiculous.
I'm not a big A-Rod fan either.
Come on.
Yes.
I mean, to take pictures of the guy while he's, like you said, taking care of, that's just a joke. The bathroom should be private, all right? Come on. I mean, I don't blame A-Rod for being pissed about that. I think that's just silly. Like I said, I can't stand the man. You know, he's the kind of guy on ESPN. I don't listen to the broadcast when he's talking about it. I can't stand it for what he did. Most players, that just drive me crazy. No, I didn't do it. Oh, you get caught. Oh, yeah, I did it. I can't stand that. His mea culpa, after he tried to blame everybody but himself. I can't stand Ryan Braun for the same reason. You know, it bothers me, you know, when these athletes do this. They blame everybody else but themselves until the evidence is so high against them. All right, fine, I did it. You know, it's just,
But it's even worse with Ryan Braun, and you had mentioned there was, I think, a delivery guy that he kind of ruined his career or something like that.
Yeah, FedEx, he got fired.
He
got fired. I hope that FedEx guy sued Braun. I truly do. Mm-hmm. I never really heard about it. He said he would have a lawsuit there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I hope he did. I hope he got a settlement there. That's a complete joke. That's why all these – it's amazing with the athletes. We all hate them, right? Unless they play for you. Then you like them.
Right.
It's okay. You know, it's just a mistake he did. It's all right. No, but the other guy, we can't stand him. He's an ass. He did it on purpose. It's all bull crap. You know,
I still can't draft Braun, though. And even when it comes to DFS, if he's a good play, you know, I kind of try to find another way. I just can't.
I'm not like that.
I know you should.
Money's money.
I know you shouldn't. I know you shouldn't let emotions get in the way, but just I find it very hard.
I can still draft them. I don't have an issue drafting these guys. I said money's money. They're paying my bills. Mm-hmm. I'll draft the guy.
Right. All right. So the Marlins beat the Mets 2-0 yesterday, giving the Mets a fourth loss in a row. Mets are in trouble. I mean, we had talked about, you know, in the preseason, this NL East as being a tough division. These teams are making it a little easier on the Phillies. You know, I mean, Mets have an issue where lots of people call for the manager Mickey Callaway's head. Supposedly he's okay, at least through the duration of this road trip. But when you look at what's been going on, I mean, that vaunted pitching staff that we keep on waiting for them to just, you know, get it together for an entire season, and talent-wise, could take them to a championship. I mean, look at Noah Syndergaard, Zach Wheeler. They've both been inconsistent, but both top-notch pitchers, right? We thought we had figured out Syndergaard's issue was the man bum. A couple weeks ago, but DeGrom pitched poorly the other night against the Marlins. Six earned runs in five innings pitched against, you know, basically one of the, if not the worst team in baseball. Three starts where he's given up five or more runs this season. ERA just under 4, 3.98. I mean, I was looking at Dan Morthen, the Mets pitching coach. Has he been around on that team since 2008? We talk about Mickey Callaway. Maybe Worthen needs to be taken to task.
maybe. As far as Callaway, my guess is if they lose today and get swept by the Marlins, Mickey Callaway is done. Yeah, I think he'll be done. I don't think he'll survive. I would be shocked if he did, actually. Right? If you get swept by the Marlins,
oh my goodness,
that's not gonna play well at all in New York. He's probably in some ways very lucky that they've lost the first two games, and it's been on the weekend, not the weekdays, where really the media will be going bananas here. But if they get swept, the papers tomorrow morning are going to, they're going to crush them. Absolutely crush them. Yeah, I'm not saying it's Callaway's fault. I'm not. You know, Lord knows I think most of the problems with the Mets is the Wilpons on down. You know, you start from them and you keep going. They have issues all over the place. The Mets are a strange team. You know, you already said it. We thought their pitching would carry this team, right? That was going to be that good. It'd be all about the pitching, and they'll hit enough to compete. Well, it's been the opposite. The hitting, for the most part, has been very good. Not of late, but for the most part, it's been very good. The pitching's been inconsistent at best. DeGrom, inconsistent. Thor, inconsistent. Wheeler, inconsistent. Matz has probably been your best pitcher overall, but then he got hurt with the elbow. I know, shocking that Matz got hurt. He got hurt with the elbow irritation. They refuse to admit they don't have a fifth starter here. You know, they don't want to go out and get somebody. They didn't want to sign Gio Gonzalez, who's now pitching great for Milwaukee.
They've
made mistake after mistake after mistake, and they keep compounding it. You know, the only thing think of all the moves they made during the offseason to get extra upon extra at extra at the same position. I mean, how many third basemen and second basemen do you want? You got Todd Frazier, once again, he needs to be released. He's done. You got Frazier. You got Lowry. If he decides to play anytime soon, which doesn't look like it, right now he's got a new injury, a hamstring. Maybe you'll see him by the All-Star break at this point. You know, Davis. Alonso's been great, but you have no place for Dominic Smith. This guy can play, and you've crushed him. Trade the man. Let him play somewhere. Get some value for him. You're never going to be able to use him. Alonso's obviously your first baseman of the future. Smith can't play the outfield. He's not that body type. He'll be such a liability out there. It's not going to work. You don't have a DH in the National League. You need to move the man. Yeah, the Mets, they're just a strange organization. No matter what they do, it's strange. The Wilpons, once again, they're owners who don't know what they're doing, who think they do, and they make mistake, get the mistake, get the mistake. It's just
It is an issue. The ownership is an issue. But then when you look at, you know, sometimes you look at some of the stuff that goes on too, lack of discipline, lack of hustle. I mean, but this is like Little League stuff, right? Robinson Cano not running out of double play, you know, had to apologize for it in the media. Then he explains that, you know, that the scoreboard had said that there were two outs, you know, on the board. But, I mean, look, you got to keep your head in the game. You got to know what's going on. I mean, I know you look at the scoreboard, but, I mean, and you had kind of brought up it just Cano's failings within the, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but Cano really, when you look at, you know, what he's been doing, strikeout rate's been up a little over 20% for his career, 12.5. Can't hit the change this season. A 288 career hitter against the changeup this season, 179. Batting 147 against the slider for his career, 265. So there's definitely been a regression. Now, I don't know if it's a regression that he could come back from, or are we just looking at, him just kind of, you know, fading a little bit just with age. And the Mets, I thought I heard that they have 5 years left on his contract. Is that possible?
Yeah. Not the best trading. I mean, you trade your top prospect there, Kalanick, for him. And Kalanick looks like he's going to be a player. That's going to end up being a huge mistake, all because you wanted Edwin Diaz. And once again, this is what happens when you hire an agent, and that agent all of a sudden wants his client to come with them. This is a deal that's going to haunt the Mets for a long time. When it comes to this guy, what he can do. But, hey, once again, it's done. Nothing you can do about it now. You got to live with it. Now, as far as Cano is concerned, keep in mind, you're a Yankee fan. We know Cano. He generally did get off the slow starts. So I think he will get better. But as you mentioned, he's not hitting the off-speed stuff. What that generally means is that as you get up in age, you're cheating on the fastball. That's why you're not hitting the off-speed stuff. Because you're already starting, assuming the fastball's coming, especially nowadays where everyone's throwing 95 to 98, you're cheating. Yep. And then when the off-speed stuff comes, you're so out in front, it's just not going to happen. So that's a problem. I do think Cano will get better. I don't think he'll ever be the Cano that he was with the Yankees. I don't think that's ever going to happen again. But I think he'll get better. I think as the weather warms up, so will he. His past says that. That's what will happen there. But this is a huge, this is a misstep by the Mets in this trade. It was when they made it. I think most of us knew that. And not that there's anything wrong with Diaz. Sure, you're getting a top-flight closer. But closers are easier to find than top prospects, which you just traded away. Your guy's going to be very good there. And you're eating the salary of Cano? I mean, you're eating the salary? I mean, good luck.
all right, so let's take a look at the Marlins real quick. We talked about Zach Gallen, you know, eventually being a call-up. But you brought up a good point. Marlins probably in no rush at this stage. But Pablo Lopez against the Mets yesterday, 7 innings pitched, 0 earned runs, 7 Ks, 2 walks. I mean, lots of people love this guy. I mean, if you look at his minor league stats, George, 2.93 ERA for his career, 1.048 whip. Nice bounce back in his last start prior to yesterday, had given up 10 earned runs and 3 home runs. FIP, ex-FIP, Sierra all have him at about a 3.8 ERA, mid-90s fastball kind of guy. Any interest in Pablo Lopez, or just too inconsistent for you, or maybe a guy that, look, you know, you're not going to get many wins, you know, as a starting pitcher for the Marlins, but maybe a matchup play?
No, I mean, that's silly.
No.
He's not that. He's not. Caleb Smith is the only guy you could think of on Miami. There's no one else here worth talking about. And this is a very bad team. This is why Callaway is in so much trouble, because you're losing to a pathetic team.
Right.
You realize the Marlins have 12 wins now in the season. That's it, 12. Mm-hmm. And two of them came the last 2 days.
Right.
They're a pathetic team. It's not a good team. Mm-hmm. There's nobody here you want. Caleb Smith is somebody I would think about. I would certainly think about,
yes,
Caleb Smith.
Former
but
Yankee.
That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nobody else here. There's nobody else here you're even remotely thinking about rostering.
All right. Silly. White Sox 4, Blue Jays 1, rain shortened 5-inning game. Lucas Giolito, now 5-1, gave up a run in 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. 3 straight wins for Lucas Giolito. Former top prospect for the Nats, finally coming into his own, George. 4th straight game with at least 5 innings pitched and 3 or less runs given up. Has a 3.55 ERA on the year. You look at him, velocity up almost 2 ticks, relying on his changeup a little bit more this season. So making some tweaks to his arsenal there. What do you think of Lucas Giolito long term?
Yeah, it looks like he may have figured it out. He may have finally figured it out. This once was a top prospect in the Washington organization, got traded to the White Sox in the Adam Eaton deal. Then they kept jiggering around with his rotation, with his mechanics. You know, they kept jigging around with it, and it seemed to set him back. I understand the original mechanics, you're worried about an injury. We see this all the time. You don't like the original mechanics because you think it's going to lead to a shoulder or an elbow injury. You change it, not the same pitcher. All right, now they pretty much let him go back, and he's pitching well again. Fastball velocity is up. It's got movement. He's pitching well. Now, granted, he's in a small ballpark, and when the weather heats up in Chicago, the ball's going to fly out of there. So he's still going to have some issues here. But, yeah, I'm on board. I am on board. I was upset that in my home league someone grabbed him before I could last week. I wanted him. I do have him in another league. I think he's going to be a fantasy asset. I'm not saying an ace, anything like that. Mm-hmm. He's an SP4 probably, somewhere around there. But he's going to be, I think he's going to be better than other guys you have on your roster, over low-end guys you have on your roster. I'm a buyer in Giolito.
There you go. And you had mentioned a couple of minutes ago of Vlad Guerrero, that you had sat him because he wasn't performing. But little by little, he seems to be coming on now. I mean, and first of all, just a side thing here, MLB Network, every time I turn them on and they talk about Vlad Guerrero Jr., they always compare what Vlad Guerrero Sr. was doing at the same exact time in his career. Please stop doing that. It gets annoying after a while. But Guerrero Jr. batting .348 with 3 home runs in his last 7 games, George. Starting to get a little bit more elevation in that swing. When I looked at his numbers last week, he had a 70% ground ball rate. This week, his overall numbers, his ground ball rate is down 55%. So obviously everybody wanting to get that elevation shows with the 3 home runs in the past 7 games. So it looks like he's finally started to figure it out. I mean, we knew he was going to hit, George, no?
Of course he was. It just takes certain, you know, some players a little longer than other players. I mean, he was pretty much hailed that he was going to be the savior of Toronto, Canada, cure world hunger, and everything else. This guy was going to be, you know, the messiah. You know, so it was a lot of pressure on this kid. And you're right about everybody comparing him to his dad, by the way. Let's move on from this. He's not his dad.
Yeah, right.
Let's see what he becomes here. Dad was a Hall of Famer. I agree. I don't need to hear the comparisons. I don't care what they did at the same age. I really don't. So, you know, it is what I think he'll be fine from this point forward. I think I still think he's going to hit 20-plus home runs the rest of the year. I think he's going to do that pretty easily. The average may come up and down, a little fluctuate there. I think by the end, you're just hoping. I think it'll – I don't think it's going to help you, but you're hoping it doesn't crush you. You know, that's what I think I'm hoping for with Vladimir Guerrero. Somewhere about 260, 270, and I'll be a happy camper.
Right. Hey, we were just talking Mets Marlins, have a little less than 2 minutes. Syndergaard going against the Marlins, somebody that you would look to in a DFS lineup? I mean, you think that he's going to be the one to pump the brakes on this two-game slide against the Marlins and their overall four-game losing streak? You have any faith in Syndergaard?
For Callaway's sake, he better be. He better be. I mean, because like I said, I don't think Callaway survives if they lose today. I'm not sure he survives anyway. You know, but I'm not. I don't think he survives if they lose today at all. I don't think there's no chance in hell. Listen, I ate it yesterday with Mats. I knew Mats was a gamble yesterday, but in the day slate, I didn't like a lot of other pitchers, and I was worried that Mats wouldn't go long coming off an injury. In most circumstances, I would not have started him because of what happened. But then again, I like the Marlins guy, too. It's funny, we mentioned Lopez on the Cam and I that we might start him because, once again, the slate as far as pitchers wasn't good. You could, if you want to start, I think it was 6,600, it would allow you to put quite a few other bats in your lineup there. So, went one for one there. That was, but Mats didn't work out, so it went back. Yeah. And Boyd didn't. We didn't start Boyd anyway because he was too expensive. As for Thor, do I want to go back to the well? Yeah, I do. I just can't see the Mets getting swept here. Unless they've given up. This is why I think he's going to get fired, by the way, because if they get swept, they've given up.
Right, right. Mets keep on pulling you back against the Marlins. We'll see what happens. Listen to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back with more baseball.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Gleena, George Kurtz, the Fantasy Prince. Sean Engel directing our show, keeping us flying straight. A little rush action here, bringing us in with little subdivisions. George, you're going to be talking about the Preakness and all on Weekend Fantasy Update coming up at 11.
Well, I'm sure Cam will. Cam's a big horse racing guy. I know he had bets going on that game on the race yesterday. I'm not a big I grew up in Elmont, which is where Belmont Racetrack is, but I think I've been to that racetrack 2-3 times in my life. And I'm not a big I'm not a big horse racing guy at all. You know, if Joe, for me, it's baseball, football, hockey. That's what I like. That's what I enjoy.
Right. I hear you. There is an interesting story. I'm sure that Cam is going to be bringing up where Gary West is offering up $20 million to the owners of the Country House, War of Will, Long Range Toddy, and Boat Express. If any of those horses finish ahead of Maximum Security the next time any of them race against him. And that runs through December 31st, 2019. So that's a little interesting story. I'm sure that Cam will pick up on that. But fun stuff, I guess.
Why couldn't they just set up their own race then?
Like a pay-per-view, right?
If he's going to put up the money, wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah,
you do it when I guess after the Belmont. Why not? I don't know how the racing circuit works, by the way. But there's got to be a dead time when these guys could prepare for it. If you only invite 10 horses, when he gets $20 million or whatever it is, you know, pay first, second, third, whatever. I'm sure these guys would somewhat be interested, wouldn't you? I would be.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I'm sure you and Cam will touch upon that. Weekend Fantasy Update coming up right after our show at 11 a.m. So let's continue breaking down what happened yesterday in baseball and how it affects your upcoming weeks in your fantasy baseball season. We're talking Cardinals beat the Rangers 8-2. A little concerning news about Rangers reliever Sean Kelly had two lumps surgically removed from his throat this week, having a biopsy done. So at one point he had been given the closer role, the Rangers, so we wish him well. At this stage, who's getting the majority of save chances in Texas right now there, George?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I thought when Kelly went out, they would go back to Leclerc, who had pitched okay in a couple of – it wasn't a lot. I mean, that may have been the thing there. It just wasn't enough appearances. But he had pitched okay in those appearances for Texas. Leclerc was the guy, if people remember, signed the – I don't want to say the big offseason contract, but it was somewhat surprising. I think it was $14.5 million over 4 years that the Rangers would do this. And he was going to be their closer. Then he didn't pitch very well. All right, didn't pitch poorly, and all of a sudden, you know, he got removed, and then Chris Martin took over. We know Martin's not long-term, a stopgap measure there. But when when Kelly got hurt, they went to Martin rather than go back to Leclerc. So we were surprised there that they wouldn't go back to Leclerc, because Leclerc had pitched okay in a couple of appearances right now. His last, what, five appearances, only one run. And that came against Houston. You know, once again, good team. So I thought they'd go back to him now, but not yet. You know, Martin's still the closer now. Leclerc was actually the opener in his last appearance. He pitched the first inning. The new phenomenon's going on, and that was Friday night. So he pitched one inning, two strikeouts. Once again, clean inning. So I think he's going to get the job back. I just don't know when. It could be a week, couple of weeks, maybe until Martin fails, whatever it might be. Yeah, but I think he will get the job back eventually. Once again, it's only been 6 weeks into the season. I don't think they're going to remove him permanently from the closer position.
Gotcha. So what do you think about this? It seems to be gaining traction as the season's going on, this opener role. I guess it allows save a couple of innings off of a starting pitcher's arm, you know, to take advantage where a starting pitcher might not have to go through the rotation more than twice, where, you know, the third time around a hitter seems to have better luck against starting pitchers. Yeah, but it seems to be gaining a little bit more traction. Tampa Bay Ray copycats.
What it is this. You can have one of your best relievers go up in the first inning against the other team's best hitters.
Yes.
That's the way it's working. You know, if you had five good starters, this wouldn't be a problem. You don't have five good starters. So by doing that, you theoretically, you eliminate the first inning. And you eliminate one of those at-bats on those best hitters. You know, the 1-2-3 guys. You know, it makes sense when you think about it that way. And then you let your starter take over from the second inning on. You know, I do like it. If you don't have good starters, it does make sense. The Yankees
five
might go do that
starters.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
The Yankees might have to do that today. You know, actually, I think they would have started Luis Sessa, but Sessa ended up pitching last night and did not pitch well. You know, gave the game-winning home run there. So I think that's why teams are doing it. It does make sense when you look at it that way. You know, this way you eliminate the other guy, the team's best hitters, one at bat, and you let your starter go from there, get you to the six-plus innings, and then you bring in the rest of your bullpen. I understand the theory behind it. It's only if you don't have the starters. If you have good starters, you're not worried about this. But as you and I have talked all season long, most teams don't have five starters. So I do think this is going to become more and more prevalent. Like I said, the Yankees did do it once last year. I think it was September 24th against the Rays, and they won, and I expect them to do it today. I think it might be I think maybe Sessa gets a little bit longer. I wouldn't shock me, even though he lost the game yesterday in the last thing. Wouldn't shock me if he still starts today and goes an inning or so, two innings maybe, and then it'll be a bullpen day from there. But I think that you're going to see more and more teams using this because there aren't enough starters to go around.
Yeah, that's a good take on it, definitely. So Cardinals, like I mentioned, beat the Rangers 8-2. Willie Calhoun, 1-for-4, now batting .450. Somebody that is going to be actively seeked out on waiver wires this weekend. For the Cardinals, two hits for Matt Carpenter. You mentioned that he probably will end up heating up a bit. Two hits, including a home run for Paul DeYoung. That's his eighth home run, four RBIs on the day. Cardinals activated Carlos Martinez from the IL yesterday. He ended up pitching the ninth inning. Remember, he missed the first 2 months of the season. And from what I understand, he's going to have a middle relief role, and the Cardinals looking to ease him into that.
You know, Joe, I wonder if that's his role for the for his career. I don't know if he can be a starter again. He seems to be one of these guys whose body just can't take it. He just can't take being a starter. Yeah, and now they have Hicks, who seems to be an ace reliever or an ace closer. You don't need him in that role. So I wonder if Carlos Martinez is going to have to be in the sort of Dellin Betances, Josh Hader role. A guy can go 5-7 outs when you need him.
Right.
You know, maybe twice a week, three times a week at most, something like that. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I don't know if warming up over and over again, if that's good for a shoulder either. You know, if that's good for that body either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's always a game here. You know, but you would think pitching, you know, maybe 80 to 90 innings every year other than 200, that would sort of help him there. So I think that's going to be his future role. Fantasy-wise, I don't know what to tell you. You know, he's not going to be the closer, not going to be a starter. He really holds very little value.
Droppable, no, at this stage?
Yes. I think it was droppable before that. I just don't see the value for you. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you can move on.
Right. And Cardinals really needed that win. Lost 11 of their last 14 heading into yesterday's game. They've had their issues. I mean, Jack Flaherty really hasn't been pitching. He's been pitching a little bit better lately, but not what many had expected. Miles Mikolas had that great year last year. Looked like he had figured things out recently, but gave up 7 runs and just over an inning pitch to the Rangers Friday night. We talked about first baseman Paul Goldschmidt batting .224 with just one home run in his last 20 games. He's been slumping a bit, George. Had gotten off to that good start for the Cardinals.
I mean, you're right. The pitching staff hasn't been quite as good as we expected. I mean, Mikolas got lit up in Texas the other day. That was terrible. Flaherty's been, once again, I think inconsistent is the word there. Goldschmidt, same thing. Up, down, up, down, up, down. You know, we expected more from these guys. But once again, I don't panic about maybe Mikolas a little bit because, once again, he's only did it 1 year. Even Flaherty, okay, same thing. Goldschmidt, you know, I do worry about guys, Joe, who get traded, you know, because they got to adjust, you know, going from one town to another, their families and all this other crap that comes along with it. You know, these guys are human. They can act like they're not, but they are. And they got other stuff going on in their lives they got to figure out. But, you know, you look at Goldschmidt. All right. The average isn't 300. It's 258. Annoying, but not a killer. 10 home runs, 24 RBIs. You're really not complaining about that. I think the average will come up. I don't know if he's going to bat 290, 300, but 275, and I can live with that. You know, I can live with that. I'd probably like to see a few stolen bases. He's got none. I mean, I think we kind of figured on that. 12.
Did you? I mean, I thought that the basically his days as that kind of guy were done.
He's never going to steal 20-plus anymore, but he had 7 last year. I mean, a couple more, you get double digits. I think we expected him to run somewhat, but now he's not running at all. So, once again, it could be where he doesn't feel comfortable, doesn't want to get thrown out, you know, for his new team, and cost an out, that sort of thing. Not all that surprise there, but I would like to see him, you know, just run a little bit there, buddy. But it's probably more the
give me a couple.
He wasn't going to win you that category anyway. It's not like it's a huge thing.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so I think you're okay there. Bottom line is you're all right. As for Flaherty, it's weird. You know, he's a tough guy to judge. Only really been in the majors for 3 years. This is his third year. First year wasn't very good. You know, a handful of starts. Last year was very good. So which guy is he now? I don't know. Is he somewhere in between? Maybe he's not the pitcher we thought he was. Maybe we overvalued him after 1 year. He pretty much is a one-year wonder again, which is why I worry about these guys. You know, the velocity is actually up higher than last year, so he's throwing harder. But maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe the ball's straightening out. You know, that sort of thing. So I do worry about these things a little bit. Mikolas, sort of the same thing. You know, I think they will rebound as the weather gets warmer. I think this is a good team. I think they're good players. But I don't think they're, as far as Flaherty and Mikolas, I mean, they're not aces. They're not SP1s. They're in the SP2, SP3 category.
Right. How you doing in pitching this year? I am doing terrible. And you talked about it earlier in the show where, let's say, you know, the top five guys that we, you know, were drafting, you know, are having subpar years so far. But then when we talk about, you know, guys like Flaherty and, you know, might have expected too much out of him. You know, even Shane Bieber, you know, you would draft probably a little after, a few rounds after Flaherty. But, you know, he's had his issues. I mean, how the heck is, you know, how have you been handling pitching? I know it's a wide question, but I've had issues with my pitching staff. Offense has been fine in all my leagues, you know, but, you know, pitching has been an issue.
Well, I went over it before. Think about it. You know, when you look at your top pitchers, Scherzer, 2 wins. His numbers are up across the board. Not good. DeGrom, we know he's been wildly inconsistent. Sale is looks like he's just starting to figure it out now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He looks back to being the Chris Sale of old. Nola, other than the start yesterday, hasn't been very good. Verlander has been great. Cole's been solid. His numbers are up a little bit. Ratios are up a little bit. Blake Snell got hurt. Kluber's hurt now. Syndergaard was probably valued too high, but he's been inconsistent. Carrasco, also inconsistent. You know, one game
Trevor
against Bauer. He gets 10 strikeouts. Trevor Bauer's had issues. I'm going up and down the list here, of our rankings list here. All right, Walker Buehler has had his issues. Up, down, up, down. Yeah. Flaherty, we just talked about. Zach Greinke's been pretty solid. Italian's hurt. Strasburg, we know, is going to get hurt. It's a matter of time. Corbett's been good. Paxton's hurt. Clevenger hurt. Bumgarner's on San Fran, and they suck. Price hurt. Berrios has been solid, but not as good as we expect. I went to the 20s now. They keep going on and on here. You know, Miles Mikolas, just talked about. Zach Wheeler, inconsistent. Shane Bieber, solid. Tanaka's been fairly good. You know, Marquez up, and that's Colorado. What do you expect? And Castillo's been good. It's been a problem. Yeah, I said, if you spent three of your first top five picks on starting pitchers, you're probably in a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
You probably have three of these top 15 guys, and they aren't paying off for you right now at all. Unless you happen to get Greinke, Corbin, guys like that, Strasburg. Mm-hmm. But if you banked on, you know, Scherzer in the second round, maybe you took Blake Snell or Corey Kluber, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and the Indians beat the Orioles 4-1. Adam Plutko came in 6 innings pitched, an earned run, 4 Ks, 2 walks. But we talked about Trevor Bauer. Last 4 starts. 30 Ks in 24 innings pitched, which is good. 12 walks, which is so-so, and a 6.75 ERA. Big difference I see with him. This season, he's already given up 8 home runs. Last season, all of last season, 9 home runs. So, the control isn't there, and he's given up more home runs. And he's a guy that some predicted would contend for the Cy Young this year.
Yeah, that wouldn't have surprised me. That wouldn't surprise me at all that he can if he went for the Cy Young this year. I think he is a good pitcher. I think he overthinks himself sometimes. I think that hurts him. But once again, I'm not giving away. I'm not releasing. I'm not dropping him. He'll be okay.
Of course not. Yeah.
But
I
think he just needs to pitch. I think the home runs for a lot of pitchers are up across the board, the old launch angle thing and all that. So I'm not all that concerned, but he hasn't been quite as good as I expected.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. Another guy, since we were talking about all these waiver wire ads, Oscar Mercado, batting ninth, yesterday, batting 167 off to a slow start. But Jordan Luplow hit his 5th home run for the Indians yesterday. Noticing this guy in his last 11 games, 270, 5 home runs, 8 RBI. Some power and speed in the minors, 279, 371, 468 minor league numbers. Any interest in Luplow? I mean, we talk about having to start 5 outfielders in some leagues.
Well, you said any outfielder really that's breathing, you have to have interest in who's playing, because when you start 5, it's once again simple math. All right, we are in a 12-team league. You're starting 5 outfielders. That's 60. That's 60 of 90 in baseball. It's 2/3. You got to figure in our DH spot, utility spot. Another 5 outfielders at least are started. I think up to 65. Mm-hmm. You throw a couple on the bench for each team, you're up into the 80s. I mean, any outfielder that's starting has to have interest. You have no choice. You're stealing bases. I know for me, that definitely piques my interest. You know me, Joe. I don't draft it, so I need bases.
Yes. All right. So when we come back in the next hour, take a look at the AFC South. What do you say? Then we get back to baseball, too.